Hello, this is Buck with the RubberChickensBlog.com, and this is Buckshots. We are currently doing an audio series where we're reviewing every Gamecock football season since 1987, and on today's episode, we will be talking about the 1988 season. You know, 88 was a really fascinating season for a lot of wrong reasons that we'll get to a little bit later. But going into the season, there was a lot of optimism coming off of the 8-4 87 campaign. Had three losses that year in the regular season that were really close on the road to really good football teams in Georgia, Nebraska, and eventual national champion Miami. Had a really bad bowl game, which we were kind of used to having really bad bowl games. Still had not won a bowl game in our history. Lost to LSU in the Gator Bowl to keep that streak alive. But going into 88, you know, we had Todd Ellis coming back. We had Harold Green at tailback. Joe Lee Dunn running a very aggressive, very effective defense. So there was some hope going into the season, and you know, I was looking back at the coaching staff, doing just a little bit of research for this, and a couple of names you might recognize that you may or may not realize even ever coached at South Carolina. One guy was Charlie Weiss. Charlie Weiss was an assistant at South Carolina from 85 to 88. He went on to coach at New England, win a Super Bowl title, coached at Notre Dame, was a head coach there, an assistant at Florida, and is currently the head coach at Kansas. And there were times when people mentioned his name as a possible head coach at South Carolina at some point. I don't think we'll see that happening now. Another guy, Al Groh, who was a very familiar name, who has bounced around the NFL and college ranks. He was actually the head coach of the New York Jets at one point, head coach at Virginia, and most recently defensive coordinator at Georgia Tech. The funny thing, he was the offensive coordinator his 1 year at South Carolina in 1988. And after 1988, he was always either a head coach or a defensive coach. So the fact that he was our offensive coach in 1988, I'm not sure what that says about our offense or about his offensive coaching capabilities. But we had a pretty good offense, had a pretty good season on the offensive side of the ball. So I guess he was okay, maybe just a little better on defense. So another thing, and I probably should have mentioned this during the 87 talk that we had, is you'll notice a lot of ACC schools on our schedule. We were not in the SEC at this point. We didn't join the SEC until the early 90s, so we had a lot of independents, had a lot of ACC schools on our schedule. You know, I look back at the teams that were independents back then, Notre Dame, Florida State, Miami, West Virginia, Syracuse was an independent, Louisville, Pittsburgh, Penn State was an independent, Virginia Tech was an independent. So there were a lot of teams out there not affiliated with a conference at that point. And those were teams that we put on our schedule and we traded on and off for many years as independents. And then we filled with a lot of ACC schools besides that. So in 1988, we started the season at home against North Carolina, won that game pretty handily, 31-10, went on to beat Western Carolina and East Carolina the 2 weeks after that before a showdown with sixth-ranked Georgia. And by this point, we had moved up to number 14 in the rankings. This was a game that was televised on TBS. I remember it very well. I went to that game, and it was a typical Columbia September afternoon, and it was 100 degrees plus. I mean, it was boiling hot in that stadium. And we wound up winning the game 23-10. It was a huge win at the time. And I was talking about filling the shoes of Sterling Sharp and Ryan Bethea. A guy named Robert Brooks really busted out in that game and had a great over-the-shoulder one-handed catch that I'm gonna link in the blog when I post this. And he came to school from Greenwood as a running back and wore number 49 as a receiver his entire career, which is a funny thing. 49 is an ugly number for anybody. So you can understand him getting it as a running back, and he kept it as a wide receiver, never changed numbers. And I'm a numbers guy. I'm fascinated by jersey numbers and why people choose them. And just kind of funny to see your number one wide receiver out there running around wearing number 49. But that's really beside any point I'm trying to make here. So a huge win over Georgia. We're 4-0. The next week, Appalachian State comes to town, and Appalachian State was led by a head coach named Sparky Woods. Remember that name. We'll get to him in just a minute, too. So we win that game. We go to Virginia Tech, and you guys know that Blacksburg, Virginia is a very, very difficult place to play. And despite the fact that we were playing a Virginia Tech team that finished their season 3-9, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, had a tough, tough time. Actually had a Robert Brooks, had a kickoff return for a touchdown in that game that saved our bacon. We won that game 26-24 by 2 points. So at that point, we're 6-0. We are ranked number 8 in the country, and it's going to sound very familiar to, very similar to, I guess it was 2007 when we get to that season, too. And we went to Georgia Tech in Atlanta on October the 15th, and Georgia Tech at the time had 1 win and 4 losses, had not scored more than 24 points in a game, and came out and beat us 34-0. So a 1-4 Georgia Tech team beats the number 8 team in the country 34-0, and the bubble just burst all over the Southeast for us. It was a horrible day. I remember listening to that game on the radio. It wasn't televised, and it was one of those games that every time something bad would happen, you would think, okay, the bad things are going to stop happening now, and we're gonna make our comeback starting now. Okay, starting now. Okay, and it just never came. And a lot of rumors, funny, after that, there were a lot of rumors that maybe a lot of the football team had gone out and had a little bit of fun in Atlanta the night before, thinking that Georgia Tech was going to be a cakewalk. So, you know, I don't know how bad your hangover has to be to get beat 34-0, but that, you know, that's the excuse that I'm going to throw out there. So that wasn't the worst thing to happen in October, actually. October the 24th, the edition of Sports Illustrated that came out featured a former Gamecock player, a guy who played through 1987, mysteriously disappeared from the team late in the 1987 season. His name is Tommy Chaikin. And the article, which I'm gonna link in the blog post as well, begins by him talking about being in his dorm room with a .357 pointed to his chin, thinking about killing himself. So any article that about your football program that begins like that, it's not going to be good. So, you know, read that. It's really fascinating. I reread it again today before I tape this, and it's just fascinating. I believe 4 coaches were indicted for steroid distribution. 3 took plea bargains. One of them was acquitted, but huge scandal at South Carolina. It's never really talked about anymore, but that was a big deal. We were walking around campus thinking that, you know, maybe we'll get the death penalty. You know, we figured some NCAA sanctions at the very least were coming, loss of scholarships, loss of TV rights, loss of bowl games, but that never came down, but it was still a huge black eye. And you got to remember, there was no ESPN. Well, ESPN was still very young at this time. There was no social media. There was no internet. So I can only imagine what that story would have been like had it broken today as opposed to 1988. But really terrible thing to happen in the middle of the season, and a terrible thing to happen to the program, made Joe Morrison and his coaching staff look really, really bad. Surprisingly, we came back on October the 29th, played at North Carolina State, and beat them 23-7. I don't think after losing to Georgia Tech and then having this Sports Illustrated article come out, anybody thought we had much of a chance going to North Carolina State. We were ranked 17th at the time and just played really well. And Patrick Hinton, a linebacker for us, had an interception return for a touchdown. and I tweeted this out today, Todd Ellis threw a touchdown pass, turns to the NC State sideline, holds his fingers like six shooters and pretends to shoot at their sideline and then holsters his six shooter fingers. And it, even at the time, it was one of the more ridiculous things that I had ever seen. And I cannot find video of it. If anybody can find video of that, please, please send it to us, tweet it to us, email it to us at rubberchickensblog@gmail.com. Really funny to think that guy's doing play-by-play for us now. But anyway, nice win. We think we're back on track, so that would make us 7-1, moved up a couple of spots in the polls. And number 5, Florida State, rolled into town in early November. Huge game. I remember going there, sitting in on about the 20-yard line in the student section, and it was awful. There have been some awful games that we're going to cover over the course of this series, and this one ranks right up there. Deion Sanders played for Florida State. They were one of the elite teams in the country. They were ahead 35-0 at the half. Now, you know, anybody out there who wants to bash the folks who leave early, lay it on me, baby. It was 35-0, and I had better things to do, I promise you. And the funny thing is, you know, we didn't have cell phones or anything back then. I was actually at the game with G-Man and a couple of other people, and we go out there, and we're waiting by the G-Man's Volkswagen Rabbit, and he hung around in that game until, like, the fourth quarter. And we're like, what are you doing? You know, we got beer to go drink. We got things to go do. So, huge loss, 59-0. The next week, we come out, and we beat Navy 19-7. That really didn't help us too much. And then finish the season at number 15, Clemson. Lost that game 29-10. Another game that I was at, it was a cold, rainy day. Jefferson Pilot was televising this game, and I was sitting in the section with South Carolina fans, and I had this game taping on VHS, and I go home and I watch the VHS tape of this game, and they're panning the South Carolina crowd, and there I am in the crowd in my acid wash jean jacket, looking all 1988, you know, big helmet hair. And as they're panning across, I lift my arm up and just wipe my nose with my sleeve like nobody's business. Just a, you know, big old snot wipe right there on television. I need to dig that. If I can dig that up and convert it to a format you can see, I'll definitely put it out there for you, because I'm at an age now where I just really have no shame about things I've done in the past anymore. So we move on to our bowl game. We played in the Liberty Bowl. We fell quite far, and we lost in the Liberty Bowl to Indiana. Indiana, yes. You think about Indiana's football program, and how could we lose a bowl game to them? Well, this was a long time ago. And Indiana actually had a pretty good team that year. The only game that they lost badly was to Michigan, I believe. So they beat us 34-10. Another bowl loss. We're still looking for our first bowl victory in history. So very disappointing end to a season, which is going to be a theme that you're going to hear as we're going from season to season here for quite a while. So that was the end of December. Typical off-season stuff happened after that, moved into January. And then, tragically, Joe Morrison died on February the 6th of 1989. And my story behind that was, on that day, I had actually been down at the Saul Blatt PE Center, and I know you guys have like a Lifetime Fitness type of a fitness center now. This is back in the, of course, back in the olden days when we just had a regular gym to work out in, but had been down there and came back to my dorm room, showered. A couple hours later, my suite mate comes in with one of his study partners, this girl, and he says, hey, you know, Becky's dad called, and he's a huge booster with the Gamecock Club, and he says that Joe Morrison has collapsed and died. And I said, no way. You know, and again, you know, no internet, no social media, no nothing, no rumors. So I picked up my phone, which had a cord that was plugged into the wall, and I called WIS TV 10, and I asked for somebody in sports. And in my mind, Rick Henry picked up. I don't think it was actually Rick Henry, but some guy picked up, and I said, hey, there is a rumor going around that Joe Morrison collapsed and died after playing racquetball. And the guy just said, laughed at me, nope, I think we would know about something like that. Hung up the phone, I just shrugged my shoulders, and 30 minutes later, WIS-TV breaking news, and I'm not saying that I broke the news to these guys, I'm sure somebody else did, but that's my story about hearing about the Joe Morrison death. You know, the thing that I don't remember, so he dies on February the 6th, and National Signing Day is on February the 9th. How disastrous. I have no idea what happened to our recruiting class. If anybody out there knows what we lost, you know, who bailed out, I have no idea, and I couldn't find anything online about it, but I would imagine we probably lost a few guys. Just you know, dying is a horrible thing, of course, and I, you know, but the timing of that couldn't have been worse for the Gamecock football program. 2 weeks later, the Gamecocks hired Sparky Woods. Remember him? Appalachian State. And Sparky Woods had had a pretty good run at Appalachian State. He'd taken them to the Division I AA playoffs a couple of years. He was coming off a 6-4-1 season. And we really couldn't have done any better under the circumstances. You weren't going to get another head coach at a major university to move to South Carolina. Probably would have been tough to pry away a good coordinator. So you got this one AA guy who's coming off a mediocre season that has a decent track record. And he came to South Carolina and led us into the 1989 season. So that's going to do it for 88, and we'll have another Buckshots up soon talking about the 1989 season. Thanks for listening. Baby, I know you're asking me to stay. Say please, please, please don't go away. You say I'm giving you the blues. Maybe you mean every word you say. I gotta have faith. Ooh, I gotta have faith. Because I gotta have faith.